It's good to have you here tonight on our, I guess, the last Sunday of 2020. And a lot of people are like, man, can we get through 2020 fast enough? I saw a meme going around that said, what are we going to do? Because the name of next year is 2021, W-O-N. 2021, what do we do? I don't know. But in thinking back, I know we've talked about this a little bit, and our pastor mentioned it this morning. I'm going to be in 2 Thessalonians tonight, if you'll turn there. And, you know, it seems kind of, you look back at this year and you think of the crazy things that have happened. You know, we even had, I don't know if you remember, it seems so long ago, and everything else seems to maybe shadow it, but we had forest fires in Milton. I mean, come on. I mean, does it get any worse than that, Brother Gene? I mean, forest fires in Milton, where we don't even have forest. But I remember over there at Avalon, the place almost burned to the ground, and I remember I was painting a house, and I came out and I saw this huge black smoke. I said, what in the world's going on? And, well, 2021. Anyway, you see, I think about that, and then I think, you know what, when you look back at history, this is nothing any worse than what people have always had to face. We have it pretty good. We still have electricity, right? We've still got cars we can drive around in. You know, I didn't live in the olden days. I don't know, Mr. Opeager, did you always have electricity?
No.
Okay, so we're going way back. We're hearkening back. I mean, you know, we've still got it pretty good in this country. We've been through some strange and what you consider difficult things. I think back to the Christians of the first century. They were getting captured and thrown in the Colosseum and getting eaten by lions. I mean, you know, we haven't gone through that yet, have we? So I don't know. Maybe it will come. I'm not sure. But, you know, we still have been able to meet. We've been able to continue about, for the most part, our lives. I'm thankful for our governor, at least, and we can have some sense of normalcy around here in Northwest Florida and come and go and do and be careful in things. But at the same time, people have been through difficulties. It's nothing new. And people in the scriptures went through difficult things. A lot worse than we've seen in the horrendous year of 2020. Not that I'm downplaying anything, but, you know, it's nothing new. You know, we aren't living through the early, you know, whatever century it was when the bubonic plague was going through Europe and people were being carried out and massive piles of bodies being burned from all the dead people. You know, we still have it pretty good here in this country, and the Lord's blessed us, and we're thankful for that. But at the same time, as you see things begin to unfold, it's kind of an indicator that, you know, Lord, what are you doing? And what should our response as Christians be? And that's kind of some things that I wanted to talk about tonight in 2 Thessalonians. We're going to start in chapter 2 at the end and then go into chapter 3 a little bit. Again, maybe difficult times by our standards, right? Because we're used to things just going along. You know, you ever thought back in your life and just seen years of your life that have just been in the rut? You want to call it the rut? You get up, you know, get to the office super fast so you can make your coffee. That's what I do. And I have to drink it in the dark, quiet. Sometimes people walk in and my light's still off in my office and I'm just sitting there quietly, just thinking and drinking coffee. And then, okay, now I'm awake, ready to go here. By the time Todd walks in, I try to be at least somewhat semi-chipper. Don't always make it to that goal, but, you know, and you got to go greet the kids and you just go, okay, you got to do all these things. Got to teach this class. Got to deal with this, do this at this time, and then run, done with the day, go to basketball practice, come home, and it's just, oh, got to go to bed and start all over again. And you just get in the rut, right? And you do it day after day, sometimes month after month and year after year, the same things. And sometimes the Lord does things to make us kind of reevaluate what are we doing? Where's my fervency for the Lord? You thought about that at all this year? I know I have. What am I doing to serve the Lord? And at what level of intensity maybe, or heartbeat, or fervency am I doing that for the Lord? Well, Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is talking to the Thessalonians about the coming of this Antichrist in chapter 2. There's going to be the man of sin, the son of perdition, that's going to exalt himself as God and do all these things. And we're not going to get into that. But he says in verse 7, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Way, 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 way back when Paul was writing this, a long, long time ago, the mystery of iniquity was already working. And it has continued to work even until this present time. Satan is at work because he has a plan that he thinks he's going to be able to fulfill, and he thinks he's going to get the victory. We already know the end of the story. We know he's not. But he is working through humanity because he still thinks, verse number 4, he's opposing and exalting himself above everything that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's what Satan wants to do. He's got a plan, and this mystery of iniquity is continuing to work, and we know these things are going to come, and they're going to happen. Verse number 9, even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. I honestly, you know, you think about that verse, and what time is going to go quick. You think about what's happening. Why in the world in America today, or in the world today, and we've talked about it, evil is good and good is evil. And people have no concept of right and wrong anymore. It's a deceit that has taken over. Why is there a deceivableness, verse 10? Because we receive not the love of the truth. When you reject the truth, when you reject the knowledge of salvation, then deceit is the only other pathway. You have to convince yourself that what you're doing is actually right. You have to convince yourself that there's no God. Convince yourself there's no accountability. Convince yourself that you're in charge of your life. And we see a deceit. We see a delusion in verse number 11. God will send them a strong delusion. They'll believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And we see this flipping of these things. You know, I was talking, I think I was telling Brother Hafner back there. Some things boil my blood. I guess they shouldn't, but you know, it was a quarterback in the NFL that got lost his captainhood and all this stuff, and they were going after him in the media because, number one, he was at an immoral place, a strip-type joint. But you know why they were mad? Now, it used to be, I think we'd get mad that the guy was setting a terrible example, being in a place of ill repute, right? I'm the quarterback, and yet, look at me, I'm over here. They were mad that he wasn't wearing a mask. Again, I'm not going to get into that controversy, but I'd say that boils my blood a little bit. Why are we mad about immorality in this country anymore? Where's that? Why are we mad about the lying, the deceit, the terrible things that are going on? We have rejected and just taken the truth up like a crumpled up piece of paper and just tossed it in the garbage can. We don't care. Yeah, it's okay to go do those things, but make sure you wear a mask. What message are we sending to the next generation in America and in this country, in this world? There's a deceit that takes over when you take the truth and do the punt job with it. You know, you just boot it right out. And we've done that for centuries. We've talked about it. The past decades, I should say, we've done that in this country. God's going to send a strong delusion. And there's all these, we could look and we could think about how terrible it is, right? And we're coming up to a new year and we could have the woe is me mentality, you know? Whenever I think about the woe is me, I always think about Elijah. Because Elijah went through a woe is me, didn't he? He got all scared because of what the king said, what the governor, the people in the authority of the government said. And he ran, and he ran, and he sat under that juniper tree by himself, right? Oh, poor me, I'm the only one standing for truth, and I'm the only one doing right. We better not ever say that. Number one, we don't know. And I believe that God has His people all over this world. But he said, oh, poor me. And God, I can imagine God just picking him up by the neck and just, are you kidding me? I've got 10,000 prophets that haven't even bowed the knee to Baal. You're not by yourself. And we tend to, there's terrible things happening this year. Yeah, we've been through some unique things. I don't say that they're necessarily terrible because God is working and doing something and we find a way to continue to serve the Lord in the midst of it. And so instead of focusing on the woe and the horror and or some people live in fear, cower in fear about everything. I don't know what to do. Well, trust the Lord. I think he already knows what's going on in this country. He knows what's going on in this world. And it's time to continue to serve him, not stop serving him. Now, what if, you know, they use all this stuff as a, you know, I've talked about it with some of you before. What if they use all this as a way to make people stop public worship? Does that mean that suddenly the church doesn't exist anymore? I hope not. That's not our mentality. I've said it before. Like we prayed for them when I was in sixth grade for the Russians that had to meet out in the woods. Are we going to stop worshiping God because we're afraid? It's time to continue to serve the Lord, but sometimes we let fear take us out of the service of the Lord. And Paul says some very interesting things to the Thessalonians here, and I want, in the time we have left, just to bring out a few of these things, because he said, here's all this stuff that's happening and going to happen with the mystery of iniquity. But start in verse number 13. But we are bound. Okay, here's terrible things happening, but we are bound, verse 13, to give thanks always to God for you. You mean give thanks? What do I have to be thankful for? We had to, you know, shut everything down and all this stuff that happened, you know, and the forest fires, and we had so many hurricanes that we had to use a different alphabet, you know, and all these terrible things that are happening in this year, and the Lord knows, but we give thanks. We give thanks to God for who? You, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Now, that kind of said something to me a little bit. You know, when you go through hardships and difficulties and terrible things that are happening, you know what's important? Is the brethren. Now, I know Christ is number one important. Okay, don't get me wrong. He is number one important. But there is something about brethren, isn't there? You know, it's encouraging to know that people pray for you or for me. Isn't that encouraging? These little times here, just 5 to 10 minutes where we meet on Sunday night and pray, that's a big deal. We don't need to let it become a rut, which it could tend to be, you know, just everything we do. Oh, sing another hymn. All right, well, now it's time to pray. Always keep that fresh in your mind. There's people that need our prayer. We've had some situations, just some things come up in and out of the school. I remember one, she's not here tonight, so I hope I don't embarrass her. But Caitlin messaged me one night after a bunch of crazy stuff was going on in the school. A lot of people were sick and it was a mess. And teachers were being out and all this stuff. And she said, I'm praying for you right now that God will provide this, 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 and this. You know, Caitlin is, she's blunt and to the point. God's going to do this, 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 this. And you know what God did? In about 2 weeks, all of it. And I just looked at that. That's why the brethren and prayer is important. God's work depends on it. Antichrist with his group and his mystery of iniquity, they're going to do what they're going to do. But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Are we believing tonight the truth? Because remember what happened in verse number 10. There's the people that rejected the truth. God more than ever tonight and in this country and in this world needs people that love the truth. And you know, you can have a unique bond with anybody that loves the truth, can't you? I've been to different countries and many of you have traveled and you go to a church and it may not be exactly what, you know, it's a different foreign country. You don't know half of what they're saying sometimes, depending on what country you're in. Or if pastor was in the Philippines, they're doing the Tagalog. He probably didn't know much of what was going on, except for some interpreters here and there. He should have taken Lucy. She could have just done the Tagalog real quick if she remembers it all. I'm sure she does. But you know, so you're sitting there, what's going on here? But you know what? There is always, you sense this bond with people that love the truth. All over this world, in this community, in other states, in this country, people that love the truth, there are the brethren. And are we believing the truth? Because if we do, that's the foundation of it all. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the truth. And that is the common foundation of us as brethren. And because I'm standing on the truth, no matter what happens, what if 2021 is worse than 2020? It might be. Do you know that? It might be. It might not. We don't know. But I know one thing. The truth doesn't change. And I'm going to keep on believing it. And that I'm not going to live in fear. Lord, I'm going to believe in you. And I'm going to serve you as long as I can. And you know, so telling the young people this morning, when God's done with you, He's done with you. Okay, great. I'm going on to heaven. Wonderful. When He's done with me, He's done with me. And I'm going to keep on serving. It's like I tell some people, what's the worst that's going to happen? You die? They come in here and start murdering Christians in America? Is that the worst? And you're just scared to death of that happening? I'm not trying to be grim or something. But even if you die in persecution, you're going right to be with the Lord. The Lord knows. And I'm not promoting some, hey, go drink the Kool-Aid Jim Jones cult. We're all going to die together. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying, we've got a hope. And we're going to continue to serve God, and we're not going to worry about that. And I'm going to do what God's called us to do, and we're going to promote the truth. Whereunto, verse 14, He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to believe in the truth, and what God's called me and you and all of us to do, we better get busy doing it. Well, the mystery of iniquity is coming. I better stop. We're getting closer to the Antichrist being revealed. I don't know what to do. The calling. I believe I know what mine is. Do you know what yours is? Talking to the kids this morning about that. You got to find what God wants. What is He calling you to do? And you better get in line with it. And you better get it. And say, Lord, I'm ready. Whatever you have for me, I want to do. That's where it starts. Just be open. Lord, whatever you call me to do, whatever direction you put me in, and whatever situation, I've told you before, I thought I was going to be a missionary to Canada when I was a teenager. I was 100% sold of it. But I look back on that and I say, you know what? I had an open mind to say, Lord, I just want to serve you. And He took care of the rest. Unfortunately for the kids here, He put me here. And they've been bemoaning it ever since. Right, Ryan? He's like, oh. But, you know, and I enjoy being here. And I enjoy being involved with young people and things of that nature. The Lord knew that before I did. We got to keep going in the calling. And you serve God where He has you until God moves to something else, perhaps. We don't know. But we keep serving the Lord. The calling. Now, there's several verbs I want to bring out now that I've got off track for about 15 minutes. Several verbs, I do not mean to go into that, that we're going to look at beginning in verse number 15. What are some imperatives? What are some actions that Paul says, all this is going to happen with the mystery of iniquity. And yes, times are going to be terrible and people are going to be deceived. The pastor was talking about that this morning, that people just believe anything and they're deceived into believing things. And facts of man always change. Talked about that this morning. They're always changing the facts. But then they're not really facts, are they? The truth doesn't change. We're going to stand with the truth and we're going to do some of these things that Paul encouraged the Thessalonians in. First of all, verse number 15. We are to stand fast and hold. Stand fast and hold. Verse 15. Brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. And that word, stand fast and hold, has the idea in the Greek of to keep carefully and faithfully. And what are we talking about here? He says, the traditions which have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Paul's talking about, he was an author of the Word of God. He was one of the men that God inspired. The Word of God here. It's God's Word. What should I be focusing on? Now, again, and we should be holding fast to the careful and faithfully obtaining and holding to what has, literally the idea is, what has, the tradition means something that's been given to you. Paul had given them the epistles. They had heard the Word of God. It had been handed to them. What are you going to do with it? I tell you, young people, it's tempting. You know, I'm old enough now. I'm an adult. I don't need all that stuff, Bible stuff. Throw it out the window and go do your thing. That's an easy path to destruction. Instead of standing fast and holding. But they're pressuring me because the mystery of iniquity is getting worse. And I feel all this peer pressure from my friends and I don't know what to do. Hold fast. Now, we're not necessarily talking. Now, let me put it this way. If you've been taught things that are not in line with this book, then you better not hold fast to it. Now, what does that mean? We got to be students. We got to study. We got to look and understand God's Word. He's given it to us. Hold it. Hold fast to it. Don't give up on it. Don't toss it aside. Stick with it. Now, if you hold fast to some man's teaching or some cult, what happens with man's teachings? You know, Christ told that to the Pharisees, you know, teaching for commandments, the doctrines of men. Men's teaching goes like this. Come and go, come and go. It's something here, and then we're over here, and 10 years later, and then we're back to this. You know, again, what doesn't change is God's Word. Study God's Word. Hold fast to that. It's consistent. It doesn't change. Verse 16, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Number one, stand fast and hold. In perilous and deceitful times, you better fight for the truth. You better fight for it. Because Satan would love nothing more than to try to eliminate. He is trying. He would love nothing more to eradicate the truth. Maybe some of you, I remember we used to watch that old show, Gorky Vins. I think it was called Prisoner of Hope or something like that. I think when he was in prison, the camp, Siberian concentration camp, and a true story. It struck me as a kid when I watched that. You know, and they got the snow this tall and all that's kind of neat to watch. But they snuck in from their wives a little piece of paper that had one Bible verse on it. And you talk about the greatest treasure they ever could find. And they pored over it and memorized it. And one time they had a Bible snuck in. And they memorized as much as they could because the Bible got taken away, but what didn't get taken away was the truth. Satan may be able to eradicate, you know, paper and leather or, you know, ban it from the internet. You can see that happen in one day, can't you? I mean, honestly, think about it. It's hate speech. We don't need to have that stuff online for people to read. It better be in here. Why do we still memorize verses at Santa Rosa Christian School? That's why. Oh, you old fuddy-duddies up there memorizing them. Them kids don't need to learn that. Don't misunderstand me. I love academics. I'm hardcore about academics. I'd rather give up math than the Bible. Shut the school down! Administrators preaching heresy up there. I love math, Gambold. You know that. I'm all about some calculus and some derivatives and stuff. It's good stuff. But I want to... Don't make me choose it. I want to take the Bible. Why? Because that's their eternal soul. We memorize the Bible. And young people, when you're learning your verses, don't just memorize the verse. You better keep hiding it in your heart. And pray and ask God to help you remember it. God will do that. God, He's promised that in His Word. Anyway, stand for the truth. Fight for the truth in deceitful times. Number two, verses 16 and 17, we need to rest in Christ. Boy, that's really hard. It's really hard at the end of 2020 looking back and seeing all the stuff that happened. What are we going to do? We're going to rest in Christ. Look at verse 16. He loved us. Agape, the word in the Greek, that sacrificial, unconditional love, and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Because Christ loves us sacrificially, the idea in the Greek is He came along beside of us. It's that word parakletos, a derivation of that. He comes along beside us to console us, to refresh us, to comfort us. This is everlasting consolation. It's unending. Boy, if there's ever a time that you feel like you need some refreshment or some comfort, you're not going to get it by picking up your phone and let me go see what's on, you know, Facebook or Instagram again today. Good luck getting some comfort out of that. Christ is the source of it. And He's just standing there, ready to come beside you and just pour it. Just pour that refreshment. To pour and cover with comfort and consolation. His grace, at the end of verse 16, has given us hope. Hope. We talked about this in Sunday school last month, that, you know, they teach all this death education stuff and no hope and all, you know, kids going out, and the suicide rate among kids, sadly, is going up, up, up in this country because they don't have hope. We've taken the truth away, so they don't have anything to hope in. And again, we need to look for, Lord, whatever happens here, I can rest in You right now because I have hope in what? In the Word, in the promises of the Word, in what Christ has told us. We know what's going to happen in the future. We have it here in front of us. It is a hope that God has given us through grace. And He's going to comfort us and establish us, or strengthen us in every good work. So let's stand fast. Let's rest in Christ. Then chapter 3, verse 1, let's be immersed in prayer. You know these verses very, very well. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. That literally means speed ahead. We want God's word to just speed ahead and prepare the way to go into people's heart, to spread throughout this world. That's our desire. That was Paul's desire. Now, Satan's fighting to stop it. But you know what can help it overcome Satan's little dinky nothingness that he thinks he has? All his great power he thinks he has? Is the prayer of God's people. Prayer. That the Word may have free course, and that the Word may not just run ahead, but that it will be glorified. That people will realize this is the truth. This is what God's given us, even as it is with you. Also pray that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Don't be shocked and surprised when the world is against you. I can't believe that they didn't like me having my Bible. I can't believe they... Yeah, it's sad and tough to have to deal with. But there are many in the world, all men, for all men have not faith. And there's wicked and unreasonable men there. Pray for God's work, verse 1 and 2. Pray for the ministry of fellow laborers. As we said earlier, we're in this together. The spreading of the truth. Pray for God's word to speed ahead, to spread quickly, and that God would bless and glorify it. You know, in any ministry, the heartbeat should be to spread the word. Sometimes in the forest of running things in the ministry, right? You have to do things. You know, we got a facility to run. We've got the daily, you know, scheduling and teachers in this place and in this, you know, textbooks and all these things, or any ministry, or the Children's Bible Club. You know, you got printing and spiraling and all orders and the website that I don't even understand how that thing operates and all this stuff going on. But you know what we can never lose? We want to pray that God's word will speed ahead. If we're trying to operate the ministry with some other goal that is outside of the truth of God's word, sometimes we have to take a step back. Is God's word running ahead by what we are doing with this? If it's not, we need to reevaluate. God's word should be the centerpiece, the heartbeat. If we lose sight of that in the classroom, you know, and it's hard, you know, when you got, you know, maybe 20 second graders or first graders, you know, and they're just full of life and spizzarinkdom, you know, and they're ready to have recess all day. And, you know, you're working and you're managing and you're teaching and managing and then teaching and then hanging on a hook. I mean, managing. And you're doing all these things, and you can forget something. What's most important is God's word. That's why I tell the teachers, you can stop anytime. You don't have to have, you can have Bible time more than once. If children have questions, you better get to answering. Yeah, but I had to follow this schedule that was printed out. Sorry, I know that hurts some people's feelings over there in the publishing company, but you know what? It's more important than that. God's word having free course. Now, I'm not saying we don't, you know, you want to be academic. You want to do things. You want to teach. But we better not lose sight of what we're doing. In any ministry, the heartbeat better be the word of God. Pray also, not just for God's word to spread, but pray in verse number 2 for the enemy and evil to be defeated. I tell you, do we not live in evil? There's just evil people out there. It's disheartening. It really is. I can't believe those people did that. I can't believe those politicians did that. I can't believe that all these things are... Lord, what's going on? And it's easy to be like Asaph when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. Oh, Lord. And what happened? He went to the house of God and realized something. God knows it all. He knows what He's doing. That's a tough pill to swallow, because you just want to go in there and wring some necks sometime, you know? Lord, this is evil! Don't let evil succeed! It's not going. May think it. They may think we're getting it. We're getting it. Evil won't. Well, look what they did. Yeah, it's frustrating, you know, and it's hard to swallow the, oh, Lord, what is going on? But in the end, God, Christ already gained the victory over sin, death, and hell, all of it. And we're on that side of victory. Sometimes we need to reevaluate that. Pray for God, though, to deliver. Sometimes wicked and evil people will just attack, you know, God's people. That's tough. And you pray, Lord, deliver us. Lord, help us. And watch God work. And He does. We see examples of that in the Bible. But there's wicked and evil men that don't believe that God knows what He's doing. They don't believe the truth. They're unreasonable. They may talk noble. You know, you ever met a lot of religious people? There's a lot of them in our country. A lot of them down here in the South. You know, they talk the real religious talk. But deep down, they just don't like the truth. They don't want any part of the truth. And they may cower in fear. They don't stand steadfast. Pray for God's deliverance. quickly as we finish tonight. Number four, focus on the consistent faithfulness of God. Tough times coming, been through hardships. Look at verse 3. But the Lord, not me, not, you know, now I believe Pastor Brainerd is faithful, but you know why Pastor Brainerd is faithful? Because the Lord's faithful. The Lord is faithful. I think in our ministry that we've been here, the church 60 years, the school almost 60 for the school, 70 for the church. I can't count anymore here. We're going on 60 for the school and 70 plus for the church and the children's Bible club. You know why? Because we are great over here. Let me tell you, bless you, Santa Rosa Christian, we got it going on, man. You start talking like that, you might as well just lock up the doors and close it down. Because we don't have it going on. God's doing what God wants to do. And we just have to keep saying, Lord, I'm going to be humble and let you use me. And I can't believe you're using me. I'm shocked about it. Because, you know, looking at a mule up here, I don't know why God would use some donkey, but he does, you know, Balaam's, I guess Balaam's donkey talks, so I guess I can talk too. You know, the Lord's going to do it despite the way we get in there and mess stuff up, don't we? He's faithful. We better focus on the fact that God is faithful. He's going to establish you, which means He's going to strengthen you, and He's going to keep you from evil. Do you believe that? People that stop serving God don't believe that God is faithful, that God will strengthen you, and that God will keep you from evil. You got to believe that if you're going to make it through the hardships that are involved in serving God. And we have confidence in the Lord, verse 4, touching you, that ye both do and will do. Boy, that's some determination in that verse, isn't there? It's time to get to doing. And stop cowering, stop being afraid. Lord, I don't know what... Just do what God's called you to do and just do right. And do it in humility. Because God's faithful, despite my unfaithfulness. God is faithful. Last one. Verse number 5. Endure with patience. I'm glad my wife's not here tonight. She wasn't feeling good because she would be saying amen. You preach patience on that old preacher up there. The Lord, verse 5, direct your hearts. I mean, steer us. You know, you ever have to be steered? Because we're over there, I'm ready, Lord. And He's like, that way, dummy. Yep. You ever had to be steered? Sometimes God takes a 2x4 to your forehead to steer you. Sometimes He can just, no. You know, we need to be sensitive to hear God, to know what we ought to do that's right, that He's told us in His Word. The Lord direct you where? Into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. That may direct is in a very little known mood in the Greek called the optative mood. It means it's a possibility or a wish. That's what God wants. He wants you to be patient and He wants you to do it in love. That hupomene, it means to bear under, to endure, to take that all the burden of 2020, all the things I've got to do this year, put it on because God's carrying it. He's faithful. You just endure. Don't let circumstances, if there's ever a year to prove this, don't let circumstances determine what you do or don't do. Don't let them determine your attitude about serving God. Because if you let your circumstances do that, you ain't fire for God for 1 second, and then, ooh, I'm out of here. Lord, don't ask me to do that. Do we believe God will keep us from evil? Do we believe that God will strengthen me, verse 3? Establish me? Do we believe it? Don't let circumstances dictate and tell us, well, you don't need to trust God's Word. You do what you want to do. Do what you feel is best for you. Boy, I'm sick of the generation of do what feels right for you. This is why we're in a mess in this country. We've seen it repeated over and over in the Scriptures. Let's bear under. Let's endure. But at the end there, let's do it with love. That's hard. That's hard because, you know, we don't like to be wronged. Somebody did something wrong. You better do it in love. Even if you have to take a stand against something, you better do it in love. Paul talks about that a lot in 1 Corinthians 13 as well. I can have all this great and do all these wonderful things, but if I don't do it with love, I'm just, it's a banging noise. There's nothing going on. God help us to endure. God help us to stand fast. And I'm sorry I went over. And God help us to do those things in love, because we don't know what we're going to face even this coming week. We don't know. God already does. Let's trust Him. Lord, thank You for the encouragement that Your Word gives to us. Lord, we ask forgiveness the many, many times in our life that we're unfaithful. The many, many times in our life that we doubt. We doubt and think, Lord, You don't know what You're doing. Father, You do know. You know every detail. And I ask, Father, that we would increase our prayers for each other. That we would increase our hope, our rest in the Lord, our patience, our diligence and determination. Lord, that we would stand fast and hold what You've called us to do. We don't know what's going to come. But Lord, we want to promote Your Word and the truth as long as You allow us to, until You take us on to be with You for eternity. And bless every family here and everyone that's come in Christ's name.